Matthew 28, verse 18.
Jesus came and spoke unto them and said, All power is given to me.
Where?
In heaven and on earth. Then he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name.
Verse 20.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Says, no one can follow my voice to the end of the world.
Verse 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations.
We have been able to explain so far that the word teach there is the word what?
Which means the word?
To make disciples of every nation. And so what the church is for is discipleship.
What is discipleship?
Discipleship means I am learning how to live and how to think.
One of the things the church of God does for the believer is that it teaches you what to think.
In the Bible says, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are just, whatsoever things are good, whatever things have a good report. So you think on these things, Philippians 4:8.
And so the Bible teaches you what to think, how to think.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
And so discipleship is the ongoing work in the church.
The church is for training.
I think we have a teaching like that, the training of the Spirit.
The church is for training.
It's either two pains.
Every man will go through two pains, or either of this pain.
The pain of discipleship, or the pain of regret.
Because eventually, a man who is not disciple will eventually regret it.
It's not a curse.
Jesus said, you will make disciples.
That is, you will enroll people to start learning God's word.
For example, as a culture in this church, we don't assume that people know how to pray. We don't assume that people know how to worship God. We don't assume people know how to preach.
You are going to be taught how to preach, what to preach.
Hallelujah.
I recall a time like that, not in this church. I had to give someone the microphone. I said, you know, just exhort us. Just exhort us for 5 minutes.
I should have not.
The exhortation, well, is the edification.
Education people is breaking us down.
Hey, yes, I
thank you, sir.
I want to start from Cain.
Ha.
Cain. I don't know where you are coming from, but I know where you are going to. You can't get here.
Cain. How do you want to bring Cain into this case?
Hallelujah.
The church is for training. It's for discipleship.
That means when we come to church, we are coming to church to learn.
Church is not, I've said it many times, and I'm not going to keep quiet on this. Church is not where we come to enjoy ourselves.
I know, there might be a fallacy of, when I come to church, you know, I've heard people say, I didn't enjoy that service.
It was not meant for you to be enjoyed. It was meant for you to be trained with.
Sometimes trainings are not enjoyed.
Hallelujah. The church of Christ is a training ground.
Can we say that together? The church of Christ is a training ground.
So, it's where we groom one another.
For example, in this church, you have someone over you somehow, and you be over someone somehow. Right? If you are not in my study group, you probably be in cell group. If you are not in my cell group, you be in my prayer group. If you are not in my prayer group, you be in my unit. Right?
Somehow,
some of you have not met still.
Hallelujah.
But the church of Christ is where we grow. It's where we grow.
You know, it's only weeds that don't need anybody to nurture them.
Only weeds grow on their own.
A good seed needs nurturing.
It needs watering.
It needs pruning.
But when you see a weed says, I can grow on my own.
See that?
So the church is for discipleship. Where training is going on.
Sometimes the training...
It was raining yesterday. Some people are here for their prayer group. Right?
They are here for their prayer group.
And it was raining heavily in the morning. But they don't say, at least they can see it. Church can see it. Church can see it. It's not like I don't want to go. Church can see it. Church can see it. But you always think that song. You know that old group that song? You know Banjo?
Yes, sir.
But the
fire
has never started. It's just rain.
But the bomb.
Even if there's bomb.
But the church of Christ is for what? training. It's for the training of the Spirit. And so, in the church of God, we must learn to give training. Someone came to us and said, why are people writing? Why? The question is, why should people not write? Probably you grew up with the mentality, church is just where we go on Sunday, so that we don't feel like sinners. So it's just like church is where we go on Sunday mornings. We have our clothes, Sunday clothes, you know, Sunday clothes. When I was younger, we used to have some Sunday clothes. Did you see it? It's a good practice. It's a good practice. When you have Sunday clothes, yeah, you don't touch them. It's Sunday. And then you have ironed them probably on Thursday, Friday. You have kept it. This is my Sunday. This is what I wear on Sunday. You know. That practice, we must not let go of it. People these days just wake up on Sunday morning and oh, will I now be here now? That's a wrong practice. It means you are not ready for the training. You are not ready for the service. And so, when we come to church like that, the first thing that comes to here is, I didn't come here to play. I didn't come here to enjoy myself. I didn't come here to sing. They didn't sing my best song. I thought they would sing it. Fire, fire. No. They didn't sing my song. When you come to church, you know with the service. Always have it in mind that whatever is being done is done to get you better. And so Jesus said, you teach all nations. But what did he say you will teach them? Verse 18. All power is given to me where? Where? In heaven and on earth. That's what you teach. We explained heaven and earth a bit. What did we say heaven and earth would be? Heaven and earth will mean what? Where God and man meets. Heaven, the supernatural. Earth, the natural. So, when you say heaven and earth, we have teachings on this. You can just go listen to them. So, when we say heaven and earth, we are talking about where the supernatural meets with the natural. And that is upon the resurrection. Until Jesus rose from the dead, there was no man that could claim he was supernatural. There was no man that could claim he had the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. John 7:39. And so, it was when Jesus rose from the dead, or it is when Jesus rose from the dead, that heaven and earth now met. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? That's what we call the reconciliation. Go to 1 Timothy. Let's see something. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. So the church is for discipleship. Discipleship of the heaven and the earth. That is, there is God and there is man. And so we begin to study the relationship of God and man. We begin to study what God did in man, for man, to man, in man. Hallelujah. We need to look for something in this. Alright, so 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Are you there now? We are all going to read verse 1 to verse 7. And when I say we are all, that means everybody in this auditorium. That makes sense? So let's go. Once again, I exhort therefore, the petitions, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks we made for all men, for kings, for all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior. We will have all men to be saved, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself an answer for all, to testify in his time. Whereunto I have ordained the preacher and an apostle, for I speak the truth in Christ and I lie not, in teaching of the Gentiles, in faith and in truth. Hallelujah. Praise God. But is that what he said? He said in verse 4, God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Is that discipleship? Is that discipleship? That God will have all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. How are they going to come to the knowledge of the truth? They'll be taught. Right? And that's discipleship. And verse 5, can we verse 5 together? He says, there's one God, and there's one mediator between who? That's your Bible now. Let's enjoy the show. Alright, there's one God, and there's one mediator between who? God and man, the man Jesus.
That word mediator is the word what you can call a reconciler. One who reconciles. Now, many people have the wrong picture of how God reconciles us to himself.
Come here.
I need a much. And so we have the idea that God probably the taller person and then man the shorter person, and they are fighting, two fighting. You know, two fighting in secondary school. Myself in school, we got so tired of separating fight. So when you are fighting, nobody's going to separate you. So there were these guys that were fighting that day. I think I told this story before. They were fighting and they were sweating. They were fighting and they were sweating. First 5 minutes, nobody separated them. After like 35 minutes, I say, who did separate us? Both of them are saying, separate us now. Who are we telling you? So we have the idea that man and God, so Jesus comes as the mediator and says, God, why are you doing like this? You are God now. Eh? Don't be a guy. You are the creator of the universe. Don't stop doing like a baby. Man. You are insane. Just accept your sister. You are insane. No. And then he now says, come together. No. That is not a reconciliation. What happened at salvation is this. Man was insane. You are not insane, Jesus' name. Man was insane. Then God came to the level of man. Now, Ben, come on, come to the level. God now came to the level of man. He became man so that man can relate with him. So he became man to save man. Does that make sense? Not that one person came between them and then said to them. No, it is God that became the man. And that is the reconciliation. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Right. Now, this is number one. And so, it says, there is one mediator between God and man. Then he calls him the man Jesus. Because what God did was now, he now became a man. John 1:14, right? The word was made flesh, John 1:14. And he dwelt among us. We bear this grace of the Holy Begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, God became man to reconcile with himself. Man. 2 Corinthians 5:19. The weak God was in Christ. Reconciling the world with himself. So, heaven and earth is that reconciliation. God and man now meet in the same place. That makes sense? You saw that in the illustration, right? God and man now meet in the same place. That is heaven and earth. Without the resurrection of Jesus, man is man, God is God. In the resurrection, God is God, and man now becomes God's man. Is that making sense? Is that making sense? Of course, the man I'm talking about will be the man that has believed in the gospel. And so, the reconciliation, which we have as salvation, is actually God bringing man to himself. He's the mediator. Mesites in the Greek. Mesites. M-E-S-I-T-E-S. The reconciler. So, let's go on. So it says, there's one God, and there's one that reconciles between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. Can we read verse 6 together? Come on, everybody, verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all? To do what? Who gave himself? We explained that last week, right? For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his son. How many of you can explain that verse very well there? Ah, I can't see hands. All right, Dick. How many of you can explain John 3:16? Well, better now, right? All right. We explain that God gave his son. He loved the world that he gave his son. Again, the giving of his son, is it when Jesus was born? Is it the incarnation? No. Alright, so is it what again? The sacrifice of Jesus. That means from his death to the burial to his resurrection, by implication to his what? Ascension. That's called the giving of the Son. To the demand. We explained that from Abraham last week, right? Abraham gave Isaac. You can just listen to last week's teaching. And so it says, who gave himself a ransom for all to specify the due time? Can we verse 7 together, everybody, loud and clear? No, that's not everybody's voice. That's not everybody's voice. Verse 7. Everybody wants to go. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and like the teacher of the Gentiles, faith and verity. Listen, so he starts saying there's one God. There's man, and he says there's a reconciler between God and man, right? He says the man Jesus. That says this man gave himself the sacrifice, right? The sacrifice. So he has talked about the reconciliation, he has talked about sacrifice. The last says, I am ordained a preacher of this. Whereunto, that word whereunto means on this note, that is, on the note of his sacrifice, on the note of his reconciliation, I am ordained a preacher. So a preacher is so called a preacher because he preaches the reconciliation of God. That makes sense? A preacher is called a preacher because he teaches that God gave himself. If you are a teacher of money, you come to church and all you think is teach is money. 17 ways you can be rich. There's nobody that is against you being rich. You should work, you should have your money if it comes. But that is not the message of a preacher of the gospel. A preacher of the gospel is a preacher of the work of Christ. He's a preacher of the Father's work. The church is not where we come to for empowerment. There are many places that the church cannot even teach you well. Because we'll be putting spirit inside. And business does not reckon with spirit sometimes. Okay, hey, no, I speak in tongues. And your shipment is cleared. There are unbelievers that are doing well in their business. That alone shows you that you don't need the spirit of God to solve business. Say, what's this pastor saying? Exactly what you just said. You don't need the spirit of God to succeed in the business. But you know what? You need the spirit of God to have eternal life. Hallelujah. So you focus on what he has called you to. He says, whereunto? So 1 Timothy 2:7. That is, I am a preacher because of this. I'm a preacher because of the resurrection. I'm a preacher because of the reconciliation. I'm a preacher because he gave himself. It's an aberration. Aberration means to deviate from the what is meant to be. It's an aberration for a preacher to say, I am not a teacher. How many pastors say, me, I'm not a teacher. I just prophesy. I just declare. What are you declaring? He said, I just declare. I just see vision. That's my own. I thought, someone made me some years ago. He said, you are a teacher. I'm seeing it. I've seen your teacher. Like a teacher. I like the way you are teaching these children. I used to gather some young teenagers then. And I said, I like the way you are teaching them. You're a teacher. But you see me. I'm a teacher. I'm a prophet. I said, okay, sir. Ah, but this vision, I can see. I can see at the time it's so hell. Ah. I can't be talking to someone that says a preacher is a teacher. You can't even call yourself that you are over God's flock without teaching. What Jesus told Peter, remember John 21:15. He says, Peter, do you love me? He said, feed my flocks. The proper and typical church meeting is a teaching meeting. The church is going to have Bible study, then we now have flexing service, where we just dance and offer our shoe. And we do, my God is good. Somebody worship, somebody praise. I remember that one today. Hey, people, they go. What do you? And then it's time for teaching. You're sleeping. offering again. Yay! What makes different from going to party? Nothing. The only difference that you sang a Christian song. Selah. Church, when we come to church, the default mode is that we are teaching. Every other thing must be focused on our teaching. Our songs must be a teaching. We sang one song, we sang the psalm the other time, right? The new creation is the Father's word. You know, you are already being taught. We are full of His glory. We have been helped. So start asking questions. Oh, how did God help us? I still need help, right? He said, we have been helped. Look, this union is an inseparable one. We are the ones that Christ died for. That's a teaching. So our songs are teachings in themselves. Yeah, I had one before I came in. I'm a new man. You know the psalm, right? When did you have the psalm? Today. That's beautiful. Yeah. I'm a new man. Yeah. That's a psalm. It's teaching. And so the default mode of the church is to teach. I know many things have changed. God. And we trust God. We trust God for the coming days in Africa. The truth is not in the minority. Hallelujah. We are not in the minority. We trust God for a fresh fire. We trust God for revival in the land. Where the sound teaching of God's word again. Where Christians are not going to church because they just want to have money. Where they are not going to church because they just want God to protect them. Where they are going to church to serve God, to learn of God, so that they can preach the gospel. That's what we want. That's the church of Christ. And so, again, what is the church for? You have agreed with me. Alright, it's for teaching. Discipleship. Teaching what again? Entrepreneurship? How to make soap? How to make soap? Is that what the church is for? Which network is the best right now? Is that what the church is for? Bitcoin. Is that what the church is for? What is the church for? Teaching Christ. Right? Now we are going to teach Jesus. So we are going to be teaching Christ. What He has done for us. So, Paul says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher. So, a preacher is a preacher because he teaches the giving of God. So, the center of the message of the local church ought to be the resurrection of Jesus and what that resurrection brings to us. That should be the center of our message. The resurrection of Jesus and what it now brings to us. Does that make sense? Am I fast? Am I? The center of our message. So the center of our message ought to be what? The resurrection. The resurrection. So I must ask myself, can I actually teach the resurrection of Jesus? It's not just a mere event, it's an event that changed the course of humanity forever. It's not just that someone died and it was 3 days. Those 3 days, I think we used to have a teaching like that. I don't know if it's on. From the cross to the throne. We still have it. Oh, that's beautiful. You tried. From the cross to the throne. Where we navigated everything Christ did from the cross to His throne in our hearts. We need it. And so, we are teachers of the resurrection. And we have rightly said that in that resurrection, a relationship is established. Did we say that? That by the virtue of the resurrection, we now have relationship with God. We said that, right? One of the first relationships we said is God is our helper and our husband. So is that not homo? I'm a man, now how can God be my husband? Accept it like that. God is our husband. We've seen all of that. That Christ and the church is the perfect example of what? Don't tell us my wife here. Marriage. Not in marriage now. Christ and His church is the perfect example of marriage. So every other marriage ought to be patterned after a marriage. God is man's helper, not Eve. Eve is not the helpmate. Eve cannot rescue them. It takes someone who has another marriage to rescue them. We look at that from the scriptures, right? We look at Psalm, we look at Isaiah, we look at Ezekiel. God is actually that
helpmate. It is not good for man to be alone. I will make for him. Actually, the word is, I will be unto him an helper. I will be unto him an helpmate. You just need to read the entire scripture together to see what he's actually saying. He could not have been the helper. If he's in Adam, if he was taken from Adam's rib. Is it making sense? So the alone is not emotional loneliness. No. It's spiritual. It will not be good for man to stay alone like this. I will be unto him an helper. And that's what exactly what God did. And so, God is man's helper, right? Man's husband. We saw that, Isaiah 54 verse 5. I, the Lord, I am your maker and your husband. We also said that in the resurrection, we are brothers. That's another relationship. We said that last week, right? Come on, we are brothers. We said that last week. Jesus is our brother. You know that song? You are friend and you are my brother, even though you are my king. So, he is our brother. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2. So, he is our husband, Christ and the church. He's also our brother. He's also our brother. Hebrews 2. Can we back 11 together, everybody? When I say everybody, everybody now. Once you go. Our brother. For this cause, is ashamed to call them what? Brethren. Is it ashamed to call them brethren? Brothers. Actually, the word brother means we came from the same womb. We came from the same womb after the first in the Greek. That is, you are my brother. What connects us is way more than physical. You are my brother. Jesus is our brother. In Colossians 1:15, it says, we, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. We explained every creature last week. That is every creature who has been born again and forgiven of sins. So, he's the firstborn. John 20, verse 17. John chapter 20, turn your Bible there, please. I've already said that the church is for learning. So that means you should be learning. And one of the active ways to learn is that you're opening your Bibles, you're writing. What you don't write, you don't remember. If you can remember it in 3 months, it's still cool. How about in 20 years? I still have my notes, my church notes from about a decade ago. Church notes from a decade ago. I still told them, I said, wow. Was I in this service? How well, much more? You get now? John 20:17. Want to go? Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, my God and your God. I ascend to my Father and your Father. And so in the direct on we are brothers. Don't forget all the time. Mary and the brothers of Jesus, they came to his meetings, right? And he said, go and call the master. Go and call the teacher. You know, the way you to us, I'm his father, go and call him. And Jesus said, who is calling me? Who did he say is calling me again? He said, look at these people hearing me. Listen to me. These are my brothers. If any one of them is my mother. Because it is by virtue resurrection that we have that bond, the brotherhood. So we explained brotherhood a bit last week, right? We said it's almost similar to what? To a cult. It's almost similar. In fact, it has to be watered down with the New Testament Greek. The real, many people have called someone brother, so. Like, it sounds SU. No. It's not SU. It's Bible. It's not an SU thing. It's a Bible thing. It's God's word.
I've seen someone say, now your turn, just say, brother. If you're not tired,
no.
You know what he does? If at all you don't remember, you will still say, brother, all well. In case you forget, anytime. His name should remind you that this is my brother. Is that clear? He's not your bad respect, though. Brother, you know brother. You know brother me. You know brother. His brother. My brother. So, it goes beyond calling. It's actually citing who you are talking. You are my brother. Remember, Jesus, what did he just say? He said, from next week, once it's 9 o'clock, we're going to close the door. All right, Jesus, the king of Jesus, he said, on the last day, he said, in the time of, I was hungry and then you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was homeless and then you gave me shelter. And he said, when did we see you, Lord, that you are homeless? When did we see you that you were hungry? And what did he say to them? He said, as long as you have done it to what? The least of my brethren. He said, you have done it to me. He said that last week. And so, we are brothers. Jesus is our brother. Do you believe that? Come on, do you believe that? So, in fact, it was the custom of Peter to address themselves as brethren. Look at Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Are you there? Colossians 1, 2. Are you together? Loud and clear. Want to go? Want to go? To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at what? Colossae. So he calls them faithful brethren. Chapter 4, Colossians 4, verse 15. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in love. Salute the brethren. In Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 23, I guess. Yes. Peace be to the brethren, love and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace be to the brethren. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 26. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. Say that. We've explained the holy kiss before. Right? We should explain it again. Let's quickly explain it again. What kind of thing means consistent explanation? It means greet one another well. Is that clear? In the Jewish tradition, just the same Yoruba people in Nigeria, what do they greet? If you are male, you prostrate, right? You go flat on your chest, and if you are female, you go on your knees to greet anyone who is older than you, right? Right? I don't know about other cultures, but I know that's you about. So it's a cultural way of greeting, right? Right? So in the Jewish tradition, the way they greet is by kissing one another. And that's why you see that Judas actually kissed Jesus. It's not a special sign that he wanted to kiss Jesus. No. It's just like saying, good evening, sir, and greeting him the normal way. So what you would have told the Pharisees that whosoever I greet, that makes sense, whosoever I greet with respect, whatever I do with respect, take it. And so, it's just like saying, whichever I prostrate for. Is it making sense? So, greeting one another with a holy kiss is actually a sign of respect. It's more of a sign of respect and honor. Right. So, Paul is saying, greet one another with that kind of culture, right? In your own culture. Own culture, greet one another well. Does that make sense? No, don't come to church and say, you welcome back to the church. And then for all the sisters. The brother inside, you say, don't do it. Don't leave me, don't leave me. I'm not giving you, I'm not giving you. He doesn't down there and greet. Greet one another well. Does that make sense? Let's see a brother in church. Maybe because the person is not wearing the kind of clothes you wear. Welcome to church. Is this someone probably who is greater dress? Welcome to church. That is hypocrisy. That's loving with dissimulation. That's not a sincere love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right, so he said, greet the brethren. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. Second Timothy chapter 4. Can we verse 21 together, everybody? Do your diligence to come before winter. Evolus greet you, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. So can you add that it's not something spooky, it's not something SU. It's Bible. Brother Michael. Brother Damola. Brother Martins. Brother Hallwell. Brother Proverbs. Right? Right? It's a Bible thing. It shows who we are to one another. We sang that song at the beginning. We are family, right? Right? Look at 1 John 3. 1 John 3, verse 14. We know that we are passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loves us that abides in them. So we know we are passed from death to life because we love the brethren. So it's a cultural thing. It's a Bible thing. It's God's plan. You are my brother. And we saw the way Abraham exemplified that for us, right? Come on, Genesis 13. Look at that. Let's go there. Genesis chapter 13. Abraham taught us by example what it meant to be brothers. Saying brother, faith is not by mouth. Oh, brother, brother, brother. It's not a speech thing. Like I always said, that the way you know that the church is full of love is not on the camera. You know, come. Smile now. I call you because you have the estima. The last snap is our church is full of love. True love is beyond cameras. True love will come from me when I have nothing. It's beyond cameras. You know what you do? It's coming. Cameraman is coming. It's coming to your side. Coming to your side. Tell me the position. We are family. Worship our church. They are looking for a place of love. A place of bless. I don't know how to do it. They are looking for a place full of love. A family. A place where you will not be bothered. Come. Worship with us. I felt like a family. He's beyond camera. You get there now. Because you are not wearing a particular kind of suit, you sit at the back. Love without dissimulation. That's what Paul said. Romans 12 verse 9. We're going to get there. Let's see that. Alright. So, Abraham, Genesis 13, you there? So, Abraham is about to teach us. Again, you know we can learn from the Old Testament. Romans 15, chapter 15, verse 4. Those are all things we are written at 4 times we are written for our learning. Romans 15, 4. Don't go there. Don't worry. I'm just saying it. It says we can learn from the things that were written at 4 times. We are written for our learning. So go to Genesis 13. So we can learn from the Old Testament. 2 Timothy 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and spoken for teaching. All scripture is Genesis to Malachi. Alright, Genesis 13. Yeah? Tell me about 7. That is 7? Yes. 7. That's 7. To 8. What? And Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and you, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. For we be what? So what happened is that when Abraham left Haran and Ur, just went out as God has called him, he took Lot along with him. And as they were going, things were getting better. he had cattle now, he had servants, you know, he had plenty servants. And so Lot now had his own servant, his own head, his own cattle, right? Remember, who did God call? Alright, Lot was just handbag. And so, as the things grew, the headmen probably did not know anything because Abraham was probably humble. And one day, there was now fight between Lot's headmen and Abraham's. And the fight just said, don't you know my own master? You didn't know my master. You don't know how to catch your master. And they were fighting. And Abraham came and said, come on. Let there be no strife between us. Between my headmen and your headmen. He says, why? Because we are what? We are what? Brothers. We are brethren. So it shows us that brethren don't strive. We can't be brothers and we are living in the same way. Brethren don't fight. We don't fight. Family don't fight. Families don't fight. After I told something about last week, that there was a time when I was much younger, there was a time, my dad beat me so much, and I wondered if it was the one that gave birth to me. I don't know before. And he said, I went to my mother and I said, I have confirmed this night. I have confirmed. He's not the one. He can't be the one. You know, very bad culture. He's going to tell you to have your back. You know what I mean? So you don't want to go out of the bedroom. Because you know he's waiting at the door between his wire. You know the wire you used to connect Jen throughout? That kind of fat wire. And so he's waiting outside the bedroom. You know it is a tradition. And so you bath for like 30 minutes. You need to go. I don't know what happened. I'm singing songs of praise in case you go from there. That did your longest bath. And they're coming and saying, yeah! What's that? Yeah, whatever. And so that night, what happened actually was that he gave him a phone. I think he bought the mobile phone. Was it not? Was it not 35,000 naira or something? And when I say 35,000 naira in 2005 or 2004, you know what I mean. Then, you know what it is now. Now imagine how many years ago now? That's 16 years ago. That's 5,000 naira. Sin was being bought about 40,000 naira thereabout. An MTN sin. 40,000 naira. And so he gave me both the sin and the phone. And he asked me not to take it to school. Guess what your brother did? I took it and he showed me what it means to take it. Because I took something else that night. I was so beaten. And I complain that he's not my father. But you know what? It will take you being a witch or close to it for you to now wish him death because he beat you. Right? He's your father. Has your sibling ever offended you before? Yes. You guys are sitting beside each other. Ask yourself, have I offended you before? But have you now thought because he offended you, now went to buy Otapiapia. Are you not putting in your brother's food? Has it happened before? No. It has happened to you. You are not born again, no. There's something wrong with you. If you have thought about Otapiapia, oh, there's no more there, don't you get? You need deliverance. Let me say that one. You need it. Why don't you think of that? We have fight when we come back. And so Abraham said, let there not be strife. Brothers don't strive. Brothers don't strive. He says, we are brethren. Why not just take a land, take anywhere you want? That's what brothers do. Okay, but I'm the one that is right now. Abraham was the one that was right, right? He was the one, he's the owner of the land. He's the owner of Lot himself. But you know what he did? He said, look around. Wherever you like, pick it and pick the remaining. We are brothers. In Matthew 18, Jesus teaches us this. Eventually. Matthew 18. This is when the Bible says. In verse 15, we are all going to read it and see what it means to be brothers. We want to see what it means to be brothers. Now we have 15 to verse step together. Everybody wants to go. Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault. Between you and him, hey, wait. He didn't say broadcast his fault. Hey, it happens in, even in churches, world churches. A brother offends you. Everybody has said,
you know, bro, what did to me? You know, what did to me?
No, 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 I'm not reporting him. I just want you to search this thing. No, what did to me? You know that, bro, what did you? After that one, you have talked to one person. As you are going, someone did say, ah, bro, so, how far? I even want to see you. I was coming to your place before. Ah. Your brother, bro, where? No. I don't know. But you know me now. You know I don't like trouble. Everybody doesn't like trouble when they are in danger, also I don't stay. You know I don't like trouble. You know I don't fight people. Now see what is he good? Jesus said, you go to the person. That means brother offends me, I will go to brother. Now, you know when you say, calm down. I will go to him. What did he say you will do? You will tell him his fault. Now, telling his fault is not what finding. It's not, see your life, see what you have done. No. It's to say, this is what you did. Is there something that you want to tell me about that I probably don't know? Is there your whole side of the story? You are going to present to him an evidence of what he did. And number two, you tell him his fault. You go to him alone. You tell him his fault. Let's read on. Again, he said, your brother offends you, Abby. Again, that means you are the one that is even right. In the world, you wait for people to come to you if you are the right one, right? If it's your right. He says, Russia now is the one at fault. You should be the one to apologize. In the Christian faith, you go to him. What the world has is ego. What we have is love. Hallelujah. The Christian was never full of ego. And so you go to your brother. You tell him, this is what you have done. Okay, bro. You not doing anything now. I have a friend. There's a way you tell you your fault. You just come. You know, you are so proud. And I say, what's wrong with this one? Now, you are meant to be quiet. You are quiet. But you come to you and say, who is this one planning for? But you know that you are sin. You're not doing it again. Which sin? That's it. So that you did. You don't sin, Abby. That's not righteousness. You know, this is when you tell your fault and you like it, that it's your fault. But that's what brothers do. Brothers don't keep malice. But they care, okay, you know. Brothers don't do that. You tell him that problem. You know, I really am not really pleased with it. That makes sense. That's not simple. But you know what about right people sometimes? Pride. Me, I will not go to him. Why can't he come? In the resurrection, we don't go to God. He came to us. Right? So we are disciples of us that we love. That makes sense? So we are learning that love. That love that of sinners, why they are yet sinners? Romans 5:5, right? Why we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is the way to handle it. And so, when Michael offends me, I am the one that will go to him. Hey, what you did? Well, I don't know if you have any other things to say. But you are not going to him for him to feel bad. You are going to him so that you can gain your brother. That makes sense? Let's read on. So, if your brother trespasses against you, Matthew 18:15. Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he would hear you, that means if he would listen out and you agree, then what? You have gained your brother. Very strong words. Your brother. You have gained your brother. Verse 16. So, your brother will not hear. Some people don't listen. So, verse 16. But if he will not hear you, then take one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Now, let me explain this. Find out that matter of two or three witnesses is not prayer. He's talking about reconciliation. So he says, if I go to Dan, come. What is? Come. Come, come, come. Let me see. He offended me. Apparently. He offended me. Now, I just told him his fault. I will tell him his fault. Now, if you refuse to hear me, or that means he's living in his agreement, what will I do? Now, since you look for one or two more, we are now how many? If I look for one or two, we are now two or three. If I look for one, we become two. If I look for two, we become three, right? But not even more than that. Look for one or two more people that he can listen to. Is it making sense? One or two more people that he can listen to. So, since he's your brother, the most likely you go for his family cell leader, right? Or the person that brought him to church, right? Or anyone he can listen. You go with the two. We are now three. Then you go to him again. Go to him, is it to fire him? No. You say the same thing as us. To get my brother. The focus is so that the war can be over. That makes sense? And so you go to him and then you offer to get your brother. Then he says, so that in the mouth of two or three establish. What's the truth? That you must get your brother, right? That is the truth of my reconciliation. I want you back. So in the mouth of two or three witnesses, I'm going to establish that I'm not the one that is causing separation here. Is it making sense? So two or three witnesses is not for prayer. As we are gathered in the mouth of two or three, oh Lord, Mashai Dabu. Two or three witnesses is for reconciliation. And so Jesus is teaching reconciliation. He said, if you go to him alone and he doesn't listen to you, he said, you now take one or two more people to help you beg you. Again, who is at fault here? The brother. Have you? But who is not the one? You. That's the love of God. That's it. Alright, so in the matter of two or three witnesses, everyone should present. Can we do something? Come on. If you refuse to hear them, tell it to the church. Now, I've explained that to the church. The church there doesn't mean you now come here on Sunday and now pick mine. Everybody, testimony time. I have testimony against someone. Brother Dan, we all know him in this church, right? The one that's drunk. We know him. I have faced 2 or 3, I have faced 5 or 4. I have faced 7 and 8. If you were there, I would go. But Dan is bad, but for long, no, that's not what he's actually going to do. Tell it to the church is actually to tell it to the called out one. Especially, actually, it means to tell it to the elder of the church. The one that you can, for example, oftentimes, there's a local church, you can always pinpoint the authority there, right? I say, this is the person. That means, if I don't see every other person in this church, I know that this person will be here. Let me just. Oftentimes, it's the pastor. If everybody decides to leave today, unless they come to church next week, I'll still be here. I will record it. Not what I will record it because everybody has left. Therefore, cannot leave. Can you? Alright, so again, you understand. So, telling to the church is not to the congregation. It's actually to the one who represents the congregation. The call that one, the ecclesia of the church. Is it making sense? Does that make sense? Families don't expose one another. So, you can't be telling to the multitude. But Peter said, love covers a multitude of sin. Families don't expose one another. You know, in your house, this anything happens to be that your mom is abusing probably one of your siblings. And then after it's gone, then she will come out. My mom did that a lot. You know, you're abusing probably one of us. It's not like that. It's not that kind of child though. And then we get inside. I told you that this thing will disgrace you. You know, what is she doing? She's covering a multitude of fault, but she's going to correct you. Sometimes open rebuke is good too. Alright, let's go on. So, he said you tell us in church. If you neglect to hear the church, now that one cannot be a Christian that is a disciple. That's not a disciple. Because how can he neglect to hear the church? I mean, you are called his pastor. If there's anybody that should be able to talk to you in this world, you should be your pastor. There are times that people's mothers cannot talk to them. Or their fathers. Or your pastor. If that's going to be your pastor cannot talk to you and correct you. You are out of hands. That's a witch. You are out of hands. And so, Jesus says, now go and tell it to the church. The elder of the church. That says, if you neglect to hear the church, what should you do? Come on, what should you do? You treat him as what? An eating and a publican. Again, he is not eating. He is not a publican. You are just going to what? That means he's a brother. But what? He has refused to act like a brother. So what do you want? You just want to go to his place. You don't want to get to that place, right? Between him, you and him, you should have done it. Not talk of one or two. Can you see what Jesus is doing here? He's saying you can't exhaust the chances of reconciliation. At the point they asked us, how many times should you forgive people when they trespass against you? He said, 70 times 7. Calculate that. But that would be in a day. That means you should forgive people 490 times in a day. You should forgive 500 times in a day. That one is the devil. He's a thorn in the flesh. How can someone offend you 500 times in a day? That means you have been with you since 12 a.m. The moment you say, the day changed. Yeah. No. Just that you have to forgive him 400 times. So you start counting. You have offended him in one. I know it will not be 490 times. So you forgive over and over. That means you can't exhaust the chances of reconciliation. You must forgive. Why? We are brethren. That makes sense? Does that make sense? You are my brother. Then he says, verse 18. Let's go verse 18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be. Okay, let's go down. Again I say unto you, that if two of you are touching anything on the earth, again who are the two people agreeing? Eh? No. Who are the two agreeing here? The one that trespassed, the one that has been offended, right? Those are the two. If two of you shall agree on anything, that you shall ask, it shall be done of them in the Father which is heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Can you answer? It's not prayer. Where two or three are gathered is a reconciliation. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying, I am in the midst of seeing brothers unite. If two of you shall, he said, whatever you shall bind on earth, what are we binding again? We taught this. You can listen to our teaching, Walking in Love. I think it's about eight weeks. What are we binding here? They are binding unforgiveness, offenses, right? Because your brother passed against you. So what are you trying to bind? It's to tie something. So what are you trying to bind? Offense. Unforgiveness. What are you trying to lose? Forgiveness. Reconciliation. So that says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth will be bound in heaven. It's not prayer. There are many places you can use for prayer, and the authority we have in praying, this is not one of them. What are we binding? Offenses. What are we losing? Forgiveness. Which means to release. So you are going to release forgiveness. Rule is the big. L-U-O. You are going to release forgiveness and you are going to bind offense. I'm not going to be offended. You are my brother. So I will bind offense on the earth. I'm going to release forgiveness to you. Then it says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of that reconciliation. That makes sense. You must learn to read scriptures in context. What is being talked about? Don't jump to something else. How can you be talking about walking in love with verse and the next verse already talking about casting out demon? Sure, you have blessed something, you have misread it. He's still talking about the same thing. So binding and losing is actually walking in love. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so,
we ought to always be on the lookout for our brother. No Christian, you shouldn't be holding malice with anyone. No Christian should say you have not forgiven your heart. That shows you are not growing spiritually. I call when I was in GS2. Everybody, my seatmate, we are not talking for a year. Guess what? We both were heads in the fellowship, in the school fellowship. What kind of Christians are we? In his fellowship, I will come and from now we'll preach. We are three. I used to preach. Yeah. We'll be preaching, and in class we are seatmate. But our desk is divided. You don't cross over. I don't cross over. And some Christians pride in that. I don't feel it. I can't feel it. It's not about you can't see it. You know what this is about? You are not being Christian. God saw you in your sins and he still came for you. That's exactly what you must do for everyone that offends you. And he says, someone offends you, you go to the person. Someone offends you, you go to the person. And you reconcile. That makes sense. Don't keep it in your heart. How did you cry so much? I said something last year. I said some people will tell you, I don't get angry. But when I get angry, I don't usually get angry. But when I get angry, I expect us to cry for you. And when you get angry, you are now a madman. So that is how the trophy. You deserve to knock on the air. And people say, with so much joy and panache, as though they've won a trophy. I don't get angry, but when I get angry, should you even be getting angry? Walk alone. Be the disciple of the love of God. Sometimes the love of God makes you sound stupid. It makes you look foolish. Someone offends you and you're the one there. That's the foolishness. Imagine, huh? Someone offends you. Benjamin, and you're the one. I forgot to tell you. And you're the one begging. Guy, now, more no this. Oh, let's forget it. But that, you know, foolishness in the world is the wisdom of God. I think we have a teaching, right? Two kinds of wisdom. Right? Two kinds of wisdom you should listen to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, we are what? I hear that. We are what? We are brothers. Psalm 133. Let's look at that. I'll close soon. Psalm 133. Learn something this morning. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is how good, how pleasant is it for brethren to be in harmony? No discord, no strife. You see, let me say this very well. A local church that will flow in the gift of the Spirit much more. And a local church that will quench the fiery darts of the enemy. A church that will stand for Jesus in this world must be a church that is strong on love and honor. I said it again. A church that will take its place in the world today and stand for Christ against the fiery darts of the enemy for the church must be a church that is love and the honor. It must be strong on those two things. Love believes the best of others. Love works out the will of God for our lives. If we don't love, we can't stay in God's will. Anyone who has gone out of love has gone out of God's will. But you know what? Because the will of God started from the love of God. For God so loved the world. And he gave his son. That's where it all started from. From the love of God. So I'm a man of God's love. I didn't hear that one. No. So I'm a man of God's love. I'm full of love. I love at all times. Say it now. I love at all times. Now it's easy. You said it. So what you do now, you act on that. If you have someone who you are not talking to, someone who you have in your mind, something that you have against someone, you know, you go to the person.
Go to the person. At least in this service, I'm very aware of something. You go to the person. So. Let's forget it. You're clear. Listen. Hallelujah. For God is shut up in my heart. Alright. So, Proverbs 17:17. I should close now. A friend comes at all times, and a brother is born for trouble. A brother is born for the times of adversity. How do I know a brother? When I am in trouble. When I am in trouble. Brother is born for adversity. It's in those hard times that you know a brother. As I close, Hebrews 13. Okay, semi close, sir. Hebrews 13. Okay, that's I close. Is this a three more times? Let's get this thing. You're like, what was it? Finally, my brethren. And there are three chapters after. What was the final there? Hebrews 13:1. Can we read it together? I want to go. Let brotherly love. Tell that to your neighbor. Want to go? I know. Look the person to the eye and tell the person, let brotherly love continue. Come on. Let brotherly love continue. The word brotherly love is actually the word Philadelphia. Just have heard that before. Philadelphia. The love of brothers. The love of brothers. See, let it continue. That is gospel. The same Bible that gives you an instruction that you should not quench the spirit. That is, don't stop on the page of the spirit. That's verses 5, right? The same Bible that tells you, don't forbid tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:39, right? Don't stop speaking in tongues. The same Bible that tells you, that tells you in Romans 12, to be fervent in the spirit, not suffering business, serving the Lord, right? Fervent means to keep working it. The same Bible tells you, don't stop brotherly love. Don't stop it. Let it continue. The love of brothers. The love without strife. The love without hypocrisy. Now, let's say, what's that brotherly love? Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. What is the brotherly love? I'm going to read verse 9 and verse 10 together. What's the love? Okay, let's wait for people. Let's wait for people. It's part of the brotherly love. Let's wait for them to open there. Are you there now? Come on. Romans 12, verse 9. We are going to read 9 and 10 together. Are you there now? What's the love? Let love be without dissimulation. How about that which is evil? Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affection to one another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. That's the word dissimulation. Hypocrisy. The word without hypocrisy. Just one word. I can't pronounce it well. There's just one word in the Greek. An hypocritis. An A-N-U-P-O-K-R-I-T-O-S. A-N-U-P-O-K-R-I-T-O-S. It means a sincere, without hypocrisy, a sincere love, unfeigned. He's not love for the cameras. Let love be without hypocrisy. I charged someone up. I said, why are you taking cameras when you are giving the poor people food? So why are you taking their pictures? He said, no, it's just for keep. Why? Let your love be without hypocrisy. This is to show people that our church is giving up and doing. I said, you can do good without the cameras. Put the cameras at home. Love on the cameras. Let love be without dissimulation. Let it be unfeigned. You know what love is? When I give to someone and I don't expect anything back. That is true love. A love that you, listen, a love that you are giving the person, you are already calculating. I know, we soon graduate now. By the time we graduate from medical school, I'll just, I'll have to call him and say, I'm in need of your help. You don't remember that I gave him. That's not love, bro. That's not love. Let love be without calculations. Let love be without hypocrisy. Then in verse 10, it says, you prefer one another in honor. How about that?
You prefer someone else to yourself. What is he saying? In the world, it is me first. Me first, right? When people say, self-love. I told you that's the most foolish thing I've heard in my life. Love yourself. It's one of the most devilish things you can say. Am I saying you hate yourself? No. But you already love yourself. Everybody loves themselves. It's the deepest state of humanity. You don't even hashtag it. You know you love yourself. What did Jesus teach? You love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? It means I will love my neighbor the same way I want to be loved. It doesn't mean that I first love myself and I not love my neighbor. I've heard people misconstruct that and say, love your neighbor. What he's saying is that you put yourself, swap the position. If you are the one that has not eaten and someone has bread, you don't want to think whether you are eating or not. You want to share, right? Right? So love your neighbor, that is love someone the same way you that wanted to be loved. That's it. In the world, it's you first. Me. But in Christ, you know what? It's He first. My brother first. Your life is, listen, bro. Your life is too big for it to be for you alone. You are a piece of a whole. I've told you that before. You are a small part of the big church. If all you live for is yourself, you have not left Christ. If the only person you think about is yourself and yourself, you should go back to the slate board and start praying again. I'll say it again. Check yourself. Think the first person that comes to your heart every time is you. Before you think about any other person, you have thought about yourself like 24 miles wrong. Something bad is wrong. It is wrong. You have to deal with this now. You don't come first. If Jesus put himself first, he was not going to die. He was not going to die. You know what he did? He put you first. Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him, he now endured the cross. Who was that joy? You are that joy. The love of God does not put itself first. If there's anything in the love of God, it's to put others first. Pray for me as a prayer. Please pray for me. And so, you love one another. There's no Christian that understands God's love and he thinks about himself every time. Are you listening to me? You receive salary, everything. You. They give you something, everything. Me. Jan Debo Bemi. Debo. The love of God thinks about others. That's it. Consider others. Because you're full of love.